That's my fault. That's the feedback if you stick around with me. This is Barry Tyker of the Oral History Project. Today is March 9th, 1994. I'm in the home of Mrs. Emily Chapman, who lives on Wobbin Hill Drive, I believe.
No, just Wobbin Hill.
Wobbin Hill in Madison. Mrs. Chapman was one of the Madison people who responded to my query in On Wisconsin. And since she is a Madison resident, I elected to interview her in her home rather than by mail. Mrs. Chapman, let's start out, first of all, talk about your date and place of birth and briefly describe your childhood and your early years of schooling.
Well, I was born on January 19th, 1921, which makes me 73 years old now, in Paris, Ontario, Canada. And my middle name is Elizabeth, and I was called Betty most of my life. We moved a lot. My father was a salesman, and we moved. I lived in Paris, Brantford, this is all in Ontario, Hamilton, then to Winnipeg, Manitoba, and then to Toronto, and to London. And in London, I was in first grade. The rest of the time, I was young. But in 1928, we moved to Hamilton, and my father got out of the salesman business and became part of, he started a hosiery mill. He had been a traveling salesman for something called Real Silk Hosiery. And I lived in Hamilton till I was married, which was in 1942. So I spent most of my life in Hamilton. In Hamilton, I attended, in London, I in first grade, I was in a school called Ryerson. And in Hamilton, I went to Earl Kitchener School. And they had a different grading system. I came up, in London, you went first, second, third, fourth, up to eighth. In Hamilton, you went junior first, junior second, junior third, junior, you know, junior seniors, up to your final, like what would be eighth grade would be senior fourth. And they had a system of education there where, I guess, if they thought you were pretty bright, you mostly skipped the senior grades. And I went from first grade in London into junior second in Hamilton, then to junior third, junior fourth, and senior fourth. So
skipped seniors one, two, and
three. Yeah. So when I went to high school, I was 11 years old, which was, but there were quite a few other.
I was going to say, was that common? Or
yeah, no, there were girls that I had gone to school with that were the same age as I was. And
now, were these boys and girls schools?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I should tell you, grade school was very interesting. Earl Kitchener, they had separate doors for girls and boys. And I was mad because the boys' door was closest, the whole block closer to where I lived than the girls' door. But you went in separate doors, and the washrooms were separate. You know, the girls' washroom was on the end with the girls' door, and the boys' washroom was on the end with the boys' door. And all through grade school and high school, we had, of course, boys and girls in the same class, but the girls always sat in one half of the room and the boys sat in the other half. There was a definite division down the middle.
And, that's interesting.
And we were, generally we were seated in alphabetical order. And there were, as I recall, we had over 40 kids in a classroom, almost every room I was ever in, because we had six rows of seats across and at least seven or eight rows back, so that we had large classes.
Did the teachers distinguish between the boys and the girls in terms of favoring one over the other, or were they
I don't
all
think
pretty
so.
Much treated the same as in the classroom?
We were pretty well treated the same as far as I could tell. There didn't seem to be any obvious interest in one sex or the other in school. We also were very well behaved. In grade school, if we got a little rowdy, the teacher would say, "Hands behind your back," and we all put our hands behind our back like this and sat there till she said we could stop it. And there was an occasional time in grade school, I remember in junior fourth, the teacher was a Mr. Watson, and I remember that he would, once in a blue moon, haul one of the boys up from the back of the room, and he'd hold their hand out, and they'd get a whop on their hand for misbehaving. But in general, there was, I don't think there were any discipline problems in any of the schools that I went to in Ontario.
So you continued through high school?
Through high school, and I went to Westdale Secondary School, which was a combination school, academic, tech, and commercial. And there were three separate tracks, mm-hmm. and there was no compulsion to go in any one track. You decided which track you wanted to go in, and academic was a five-year course, tech was a four-year course, and commercial was a four-year course. And I really enjoyed school a lot, and I loved math, and I loved physics. I had an unusual physics teacher. We all had to take the same classes. We had courses. We had, I think, maybe two electives. If we were an academic, we had to take all the courses that were necessary to go to college. That's all there was to it. Mm-hmm. But you could take, for instance, physics or German. And I decided I'd rather take physics than German. And our Mr. Gillen was our physics teacher. And in third form, that's what we called him. It didn't go by grades there. We went first through fifth form. In third form, he sort of browbeat us, nursed us along. We had a quiz every morning. He sort of spoon-fed us. And then when I got into fifth and was taking what was advanced physics, he said, "You are now college-aged young people. I am just going to expect you to do everything on your own. I'm not going to correct you. It's up to you." and in both of his classes, every homeroom, when you were in a homeroom, you had we had homeroom parties and homeroom treasure hunts and homeroom this and homeroom that. And since we usually attended all our classes together, you know, through the year, we got to know each other pretty well, and it was very interesting. And my mom and dad they went to business school or business college. That's where they met. And my two brothers had two older brothers, 8 and 10 years older than I. And they both were, I was almost an only child. They went off to University of Toronto and got electrical engineering degrees in what was then called the School of Practical Science, which was an engineering degree. Our high school stuff was very heavy on maths, and I have a list of all the credits I got for high school. And then I wanted to take math and physics. I wanted to go to University of Toronto and take math and physics. Well, we suffered a financial setback in the family. And my mother said to me, "Betty, it wouldn't hurt you to learn how to cook. Why don't you go to McDonald Institute?" And it was only $25 a semester for tuition and $25, I think, a semester for room and board. So it was affordable. And I thought, well, I don't have the money. And my parents will send me there, so I said I would. And but they wouldn't let me in. I was too young. So I stayed a 6 year at Westdale, and took all kinds of interesting things like architectural drafting and business lettering, and got finally completed my senior matriculation Latin, which I had dropped Latin because that was one teacher I didn't like. But one of the things, the teachers that we had, I remember my high school teachers a lot more vividly than I remember the teachers that I had in the university. The very first, when I was in first form, and I was in the geometry homeroom, and Mr. Stiles, a little short red-headed guy, posed a couple of problems to us and said, now here are some things that mathematicians have been trying to solve for centuries. So I'm going to give you one of them and see if you can solve it. Can you trisect an angle? Oh! I worked on that and worked on it. Of course, I don't know anybody that can do it, you know, using a... And then he was one that passed around saying, what are you interested in being when you finish school? And at that time, I wanted to be an architect, which was... I still like drawing, drawing things. But anyway... So I enrolled then at McDonald Institute, and we had, this was a 2-year course for an associate degree in home economics. And we went 3 semesters a year, and we had, it was the same type of schooling as high school in a sense that we were in school all day from, you know, 8:30 or 9 till 4:30, and you maybe had one spare period a day. And in our schools, we took a lot of subjects and took them for the whole year. I mean, you would continue for the whole year. There were no semester. Yeah, there was. Home economics was a semester, and I think, you know, there were a couple of ones that weren't. I don't think I even got credit for it, but in fact, a lot of the subjects in high school you continued year after year, going through the same subjects, just getting more and more. And all our exams were comprehensive. In other words, you went back right to the beginning, all your knowledge, and never had a multiple choice or a true false exam ever till I came to the University of Wisconsin. We had essay exams, and we had to sort of really know what we'd been taught, and it was I think it was very good discipline. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I graduated from Guelph in May of 1940. We were kicked out a month before we were supposed to be because of the war, and they were turning over the home ec school Air Force chef training.
Oh.
And so then I worked here in an anti-aircraft gun factory.
Well, that must have been interesting.
Uh-huh. And I used all the math I'd ever had. I worked as a machinist and an inspector and did layout work, and I worked 12-hour shifts and 2 weeks days and 2 weeks nights. And that was, if I wouldn't have been able to do it if my mom hadn't made my lunch, done my laundry, because I had an hour ride on the streetcar to the factory and back. And I was married in 1942. And my husband was an instructor at the University of Guelph, which is where I had been going to school, and I met him, and we fell in love while I was a student and he was a student. He was in the Ag School, OAC, it's now the University of Guelph. And he was a senior when I was we were called juniors and seniors. We weren't called freshmen because we were only there for 2 years. When I was a junior, he was a senior in his four-year course. And so, at any rate. And several things I did after I was married. I was worked at the calendar foundry doing inspecting and drafting. So my course in drafting in high school did well by me. I learned inspecting and that's layout, and it's because in using machines in when I was working for Otis Fensom in Hamilton. And then we started having, let's see, our first child was born in 1945, a son. And in 6 days after he was born, my husband came to Wisconsin to enroll as a graduate student. And I followed when the baby was 6 weeks old, came on a train, and went through a little bit of agony because there was no hot water on the train, and I had all these bottles that were packed in ice, and you didn't give a baby an icy bottle back then. And so the child screamed, "Where is the place where they make cereal? Battle Creek,
Battle
Michigan."
Creek, yeah.
Battle the gentleman who walked up and down the alley in the train said, "We'll get heat on in Battle Creek." So anyway, we got through that, and he was enrolled then in the university as a doctorate student. And
What field of study?
In entomology, in the School of Agriculture. That was his major at OAC. He was in entomology. Mm-hmm. And so we lived at the university cabin camp without running water. Had two more children, two girls. And that sort of was a blurry.
let's talk about the cabin camp for a while. Now, that was located
on University Avenue in the 2900 block, 2929 University Avenue.
How big were the cabins? I mean, how many people lived in? What were they like? I don't know much about the cabin.
Well, the one that we were in was, let's see, double bed. I think it was 10 by 14, divided into two rooms. There was no running water. We had to carry water in from, there was a central washroom with bathrooms and washing machines and stuff. And we had oil heaters. And it was inexpensive, $25 a month for rent.
That's nice.
When your husband is only trying to live on $100 a month, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we had three children and stayed there 4 years, and I was about ready to go to Mendota when I.
And you were. I mean, there were five of you in a sense in these.
Oh yeah.
10 by 14. Divided yes. into two rooms. Oh my.
Yeah.
That must have been cozy.
Yeah. Well, after our third child was born, my husband built a little, I think about a 6 by 8 kitchen on the back.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you have hot plates or how did you cook?
Oh, there was a little closet on the back. These used to be tourist cabins, mm-hmm. and it had shelves. We put shelves in it, and I had a hot plate on one side and a roaster oven on the other, and used orange crates to mm-hmm. keep things in, you know.
So it was one family per cottage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how many cottages were there about, do you recall?
There were about 12 or 14 cottages. There were also trailers and mm-hmm. Quonset huts.
Did you get to know your neighbors very
oh,
well?
Oh, yeah. You certainly did. Oh, yes, we had coffee clutches every morning, and we babysat each other's kids, and everybody had little children. It was, and there were a lot of Canadians in that camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the other one down where Sherwood Hills was reserved for Americans for some reason, or for veterans or something. So we had, there were a lot of Canadian students, grad students in there, and we none of us could afford to go home for Christmas, so we always had Christmas dinner in the rec room. There was a study hall. Really, it wasn't a rec room, but we a study hall, and then separate bathrooms for men and women. Mm-hmm. And then the basement, there were laundry facilities. No dryers, but there were clotheslines, and there were clotheslines outside. But it was, we had to roast the turkey 1 year, and we left it out on our, we had a little front porch, and we had the turkey out there to keep cold, and when we went to get it, to put it in our roaster oven, we found that a rat had gnawed its back off. Well, there were rats. There was a steakhouse right in that area that's since moved to quite a famous steakhouse.
Smokies,
yeah. And there were always rats around the back of their place, and they migrated to place. But I did, my husband and I concealed it, took it over to the basement laundry, scrubbed it up with soap, and roasted it breast side up, and never let a soul know that it had been chewed.
Gnawed by a rat.
But at any rate.
Interesting years, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
From your standpoint.
Yeah, they were. And anyway, we finally gathered enough money to move out of the cabin camp. Well, first of all, we moved to Sherman Terrace, or Tilton Terrace as it was, and then to bought a lot out somewhere out here in, we're paying on a lot near the school that's right over here on Midvale.
Thoreau? Oh, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Van Hise?
No.
The grade school.
On Midvale.
Well, we'll leave it as the
yeah.
school.
Okay. Anyway, we started to buy a lot, and we thought we could build a house. And my husband tore down an old house on campus for a dollar, and we had all this wood stored. And we were about to, and we had an arrangement that a builder would build a house on the lot, and use all our lumber, and that the lot would be enough. Down payment. And they put in something called Regulation X. And whatever it was terrible. We couldn't build. You had to have cash money, and you couldn't build or anything like that. So,
this is about 1940. Your son was 45, so.
Yeah, it would be 48, 49.
So housing was very scarce at this point in Madison.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they would put through this regulation that would...
Well, it was a federal regulation, I think.
Yeah. At a time when housing was desperately needed, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. So you win some and you lose some. But anyway, eventually we found somebody that would take the lot as down payment on a house out in Verona. And that's where we lived when I started to think about going back to school, to go to the university. We had a lot of other things happen too, but that's another story.
That's another tape. What made you start thinking about returning to school?
Well, when my husband got his doctorate in 1950, and I figured it was when the children were in school, maybe it was time for me to go to school and get a degree. I only had an associate degree. I wanted at least a bachelor's degree. I mean, when you have a PhD for a husband, you don't want to feel that inferior in your education. And since I had credits for home ec, it seemed the logical thing to do, to go to home ec. And so I did. I went up and talked to Mrs. Zoll, and she was very cooperative. And she suggested something that I didn't really think I was suited for, but she seemed to think. She said, since you have three children, I think you'd be better off to go into home ec education so that you could teach, because then you'd have summers off and you would essentially be going to school the same time your children were. So I thought, well, okay.
You say.
So I did enroll in home ec education, and I was very fortunate. I was given 62 credits for my home ec work, which included an awful lot of math and sciences, and I was given 30 credits for my high school courses. So I went in as a senior.
Oh, that many transferred. Wow.
Yeah, that many transferred, because I had two college years in high school. If you graduated, the way the high schools worked, if you took 4 years in academic, that was called junior matriculation. If you took 5 years, it was senior matriculation. And if you had took senior matriculation, if you had the 5 years, you went into the sophomore class at the University of Toronto. If you had 4 years, you went in the freshman class. Well, I had 6 years.
Yeah, that's right. You went that extra year. Because
I went the extra year.
Going to the McDonald's Institute for a year.
Right? Yeah, and I was set to start in 1956, and these are my original transcripts.
You have original transcripts.
My original transcripts, yeah, because they do give high school and the credits for McDonald Institute and stuff. And we were living in Verona, and I started. Now, the first semester I took an education course, which was called The Child. I took required history course, U.S. to 1865, two home ec courses, Introduction to Related Art and Housing, and a course in, you were required to have a course in sociology, Man in Society. And that was 14 credits. So I didn't have much time to do much outside. Since I was a senior, I could get all my classes at 7:45 in the morning.
Oh, so you went early.
So I went
out in Verona. So you took a bus into campus.
No, my husband drove. We drove in together.
Oh, I see. Of course, he must have stayed at the university.
Yeah, he was hired. He's now an emeritus professor. But so we drove in together, and I had all my courses lined, and I was fortunate to be a senior, so I could get first choice. Mm-hmm. And so I drove in for 7:45 classes with my husband and tootled around the campus and came home on a bus to Verona. There was a bus that left about 1:30 or 2 o'clock, I can't remember, and that I would catch down in front of the Union. And I managed to get almost all my, any labs I had or anything, I managed to get them shoved into the morning. And the second semester, I took 12 credits. In education, I took school and society, and then I took 3 home ec courses, costume design, textile chemistry. Costume design, textile chemistry.
I've never heard the term.
Well, I don't
course,
either.
There's a course listing.
Yeah, that's what it was called. But the, at any rate, I came out of this thing with a 4.6 grade point average.
Was that on a 5, scale of 5? Is that different? Today it's on, we're on a 4.6.
No.
We're on a 3.6.
3.6, I'm okay. Sorry, yeah.
How were the courses? You took some pretty high-powered courses up in Canada. How did the courses you had here compare?
Most of them were awfully easy. Just because I learned to study. at Mac, we had a closed campus. Every evening from, I think it was from 7:30 till 10, was study hour. Nobody could go anywhere. You had to stay in your room and study in the dorm. And of course, you snuck around a bit, but we only were allowed in this. Well, we were well protected as young ladies. Mm-hmm. Of course, I found out later that the men didn't have to stay in their dorms. Mm-hmm. But
interesting.
But
what about the home ec courses here? Were they pretty challenging? Were they? How would you characterize them? Generally?
Well, the only chemistry I had to take was textile chemistry, and I thought it was really interesting because I'd taken all kinds of other chemistries, biochemistry and organic chemistry and inorganic chemistry. I'd taken every other one, but textile chemistry was a new one to me. And costume design was really interesting. We were drawing patterns, and that was fun. And I still don't know what humanics was. housing was just mostly how to rent a house, how to live in a house, how to pay the bills.
So practical things.
Practical things, which I felt I was already well acquainted with.
Well, let's talk at this point. This is a good point to talk about. You were a non-traditional student.
Yeah.
You weren't 18 or 19 or 20
years
old, like most of your classmates. How did that affect you? Did that cause you any problems? Did it
no,
help,
I don't think so. Nobody seemed... Well, no, the only thing that bothered me that was once when I was riding on the campus bus and I got on and a young kid got up and offered me your seat. So So, I mean, that's the only time I ever thought of being older.
So did they have any special orientations for you at
the
university?
No.
Any special treatment or anything?
Oh, no.
You were just one of the students who just happened to be a little older than the rest of the students.
Just,
and that didn't, you didn't have any problem with that in terms of
no,
getting
I,
around or anything?
No. I did. I couldn't do much fraternizing because I didn't have time, but I certainly participated in the classes and spoke up when I felt I needed to.
Well, you mentioned that you had to take several education courses, too.
Yeah.
How would you characterize those courses generally?
Well, let's see, which education courses? School and Society. I did not appreciate that course. I got an A in it, but I didn't.
Why didn't you appreciate it?
That was when everything was democracy in the classroom. And I didn't believe in democracy in the classroom. I thought I got a very good education in a very undemocratic classroom. And I thought a good education was more important than democracy in the classroom, and that's the one I spoke up in.
Did the teacher allow democracy in his or her classroom? Was there?
Well, yeah, but this one was the one where they kept saying that parents don't care about their kids. They want the school to take care of them. Parents just want to get rid of their kids and send them to school and not have to have anything to do with them. And boy, after three kids of my own at home and the way my own parents were, that really frustrated me, and I did speak up. That was the one. It was in that course too where the TA was talking about, can you imagine lining kids up to go from class to class, and you know how undemocratic that was? I spoke up in that class a lot because I just didn't agree with everything they were saying about kids and school. And
was this kind of I'm my child psychology days knowledge is rusty. Was Spock, Dr. Spock, around at this point, or was
well? No, this was
predating him by a bit.
I think this was predating him. This was just it seemed as though the education school goes through cycles where I said you could pass any exam in this particular course with an A if all you did was say democracy in the classroom. I would get frustrated because all these little 18-year-olds were sitting there taking all this stuff in and believing it. And that was too much. Because I know as far as I was concerned with kids in school, I just hated the fact that they always wanted them to go back in the evening for stuff. We never had, the only things when I was going to school that we had in the evening were when we put on plays that the parents would come to. All the school activities that you were in were after school, right after school, so that you stayed till maybe 5 o'clock, and then you went home. You know, if you were in a play, you rehearsed right after school. If you in football, we never had night games. We did have Saturday afternoon games, but we never had night games. We had a good football team, too. But in general, I enjoyed going to school because I think I learned a lot. I enjoyed the first education course, which was a child development thing, and this was very interesting to me because I had three that I could look at and see how they compared and stuff.
Did the teachers draw on your knowledge as someone
who
raised three children?
No.
Go ahead.
They just treated me like every other student, basically, except in that one school and society course, because I probably got pretty obnoxious in that one. But, no, there was one of the juvenile judges what was his name? He lived in Verona, and he was a well-known young juvenile judge, and I remember being so upset about them saying that people didn't care what their kids did, and I called him, and after I went through that, you know, after they were saying this in class, and I say, do you really think, he said, no, that's not true. Parents really do care what their kids are doing. And he said, they may not know what to do about them, but they really care and they really worry. And since he ran into all kinds of miscreants in the juvenile area, I figured he would know.
Mm-hmm. Were there any teachers, professors you had in either home ec or education, or any of your courses, that stand out in your mind as being influential to you or important to you in your education?
Well, I enjoyed public speaking. No, there was no one who was particularly, maybe I might have been a little, I hate to say the word jaded.
Mm-hmm. You can say it. Okay.
with the courses, because they really didn't seem to take a lot of, I studied, of course. The first semester I had a lot going for me, I had a lot of energy, I got 4 A's and a B. The second semester I got 2 A's and 3 B's. I was beginning to falter a little bit. There's a limit. As far as in I'm not sure. I think it was in education. And this was when we had to do some kind of outside work, and that's in the child, or maybe, and possibly in school and society, we had to do something for society, and that's, well, I was already helping with Cub Scouts and Girl Scouts, so I said, may I do that? And then, yeah, so then I had to keep track of everything we did and write a report on it and stuff, so.
So you graduated with your degree in home ec education?
No.
No?
No. The second year, 1956 to 57, mm-hmm. was when I was taking teaching home economics and education, the nature and direction of learning, and I was taking advanced public speaking. I took the beginning public speaking and the other one. And I got through. The teaching home economics was when I was teaching at Wisconsin High.
Mm.
And
oh, yes, that's right.
And we did it in pairs. And one of us observed while the other one did the teaching.
Did you observe through those one-way mirrors? Is that
Oh, no. Observing meant you were in the class.
Oh, in the class, okay.
In the classroom. One student observed. In other words, you did it in pairs. And I finished my, whatever, my project, my teaching project. And that was when our youngest child got chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it says here, 12-4-56, withdrew family responsibilities. And I just couldn't. I had to go to every class and keep up. I couldn't afford to be absent for a day or two because I had the whole house at home and the three kids to take care of, and I had to really, and I knew I had to stay home with this, with the child with the chicken pox, poor little kid. And then she got mumps right on top of it. So, and then I caught mumps from her. So that was, but that was teaching the eighth graders home and economics, and they gave us a choice of things, and I think mine was packed lunches, which is a very uninspiring thing. And it was about how trying to teach them good nutrition and bringing lunches to school and whether they should buy them or not. And the thing that made, I almost hate to say this, the thing that made the biggest impression on them was that when I took them on a field trip in a bus to one of the supply areas for a local restaurant, so they could see how the restaurant did things. And they all came back and said they were going to carry their own lunches from now on.
Interesting. Now, was this at Wisconsin High where you...
Yeah, that was Wisconsin High.
Tell me a little bit about Wisconsin High.
Those kids were bratty.
Were these sort of faculty brats?
They were Sherwood Hills and yes, some faculty ones. But at one point, I was getting pretty frustrated with them, and I said, "Now, why do you act so nasty?" And they said, "Well, we're teaching you how to teach."
So they were precocious at that
time. Yeah, they were really precocious. But I think the only thing I felt good that came out of that was that before I took them on this one field trip, I said, "Now, have any of you ever said thank you to a bus driver who's taken you on a field trip?" And they all looked at me with their mouths open. And I said, "I think it would be a good idea if when you got off the bus, you said thank you to the bus driver, because he's not earning much money taking you." And I was absolutely astonished. That's all I said. As they were getting off, every one of those kids said, "Thank you." You should have seen the bus driver. He nearly fainted. But, you know, it was, I figured that was my one contribution, was to get the kids to realize that bus drivers were human beings.
People too.
But, so that's, anyway, so I dropped out and took care of a sick child and took care of myself, and then went back the second semester. But before I went back, I asked Dean Zoll, I said, "Do I have to repeat the teaching? Because I did the teaching part, I just didn't observe." "Oh, yes, you have to do it all over again." And I thought, do I really want to be a teacher? I decided that I wasn't the kind that wanted to teach high school kids. College kids, maybe, but not high school kids. And so I said, "Well, is there any way I can get a degree without finishing the home ec education?" And she said, "Oh, sure." She said, "You can get a general professional major. All you need are 6 credits of what do they call them? Things that you, outside the thing.
Electives?
Electives. All you need are 6 credits of electives, and you can graduate with a general professional major in home ec." And I thought, that'll give me a Bachelor of Science. I'll take it. So they let me do it. And I took, these were the two of the most interesting courses, anthropology, human evolution, and elementary logic. And I loved both of them. They were so interesting. And I came out of the logic course saying, oh my gosh, if only all the people who make laws would take a course in logic, then you'd be able to understand what they say. I've forgotten all about, I've forgotten how you did it, but you know, you went through paragraphs and figured out how, saw a lot of things that said things that were just the opposite to what they were supposed to say and stuff. But it was, anyway, though, I got those, and so I graduated.
So you got that degree.
I got the degree. And then I collapsed and rested for about 2 or 3 years. And then I decided to, I was always interested in math, and I thought I was good in high school math, and I loved things like algebra and trig and geometry, and I thought, I wonder if this new field programming would be something that I could do. And so I went to night course at, it wasn't called the MATC, I've forgotten, it was called a technical school downtown, and took a introduction to programming and a course in Fortran programming at night. And I never finished the project that I was supposed to do in Fortran. I didn't quite get the program to complete, but when I finished, the instructor said, why don't you go see if you can get a job programming? I think you can do it. So I went around campus, said, does anybody need a Fortran, beginning Fortran programmer? I banged on doors and went to the sociology department, and I got hired by Dr. Buse in sociology, or is he in Ag Econ? Ag Econ, I guess it was. He had something called the Buse Brazil Project, where he was studying all the output from every Brazilian province for 20 years, every crop and stuff. And he hired me as a beginning programmer at, I think it was $1 an hour. I was a project assistant, I guess they call it that. And I, from there, I learned a lot from him, and I went on to, when that one sort of, I guess that one, I sort of finished up, and then I went to the computer center and looked up notices, and I got part-time jobs and half-time jobs programming in a lot of different areas, and at that time I decided I had better learn more about programming. But then I decided that maybe I should learn more. So was it, this is 10 years later, 66?
66, yeah.
Well, I took a few years off, and then I took some programming courses at the school, and then, so I started in as, I thought I'd take a summer session course in 1966 in calculus. Now this is a long time since I had any math, and it was one of the requirements for a master's in programming, and that was one that a summer course of 5 credits in 12 weeks is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And we had moved to Madison by then. And so I used to, with the kids when they were little, I stayed up till they went to bed, and then I studied. When I was in this summer course, I just went out on the back porch, shut the door, turned a lamp on, and said, "Stay away from me," and took this course. And this is the one that I started in summer school, and then the grad school called me in and said, "Why are you taking a summer course? Why aren't you in graduate school?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I just thought I'd take a course and, you know, see some." "Well, we think you ought to be in graduate school." So they told me to be in graduate school.
Interesting. So you had, what did that mean? Did you have to apply for entry into graduate school?
Well, they seemed to think I was already qualified to enter. Well, that's one of, no, this was June 74. I got one of these for that. The summer session just sent me over to the grad school, and they said, "No, you're enrolled in grad school." I guess it was because I had a 3.6 GPA or something. And this was the course that I took, and the first, I was in one, I don't know what, don't remember what they call them now, one session. They have different ways of teaching. Mm-hmm. Different people teach the same thing different ways. The first one they put me in was in somebody who was teaching in modern math, and I sat there for 3 days. And I couldn't understand a word he was saying. So I went, I've forgotten who I went to, and I said, "Can't I find somebody who is teaching this in old-fashioned math?" So they put me in another session. But this is one where I used Chomsky's algebra and went through it before I started the course. I went through algebra. So this was based on algebra. This is 221, and I had to go right back to the beginning with every problem. Start with the algebra and work up to the thing. But I did get an honest B. And this is the one the TA told me afterwards, "If I'd known you were in grad school, I'd have given you an A." No. Oh, gee.
Why would he have given you an A?
Because this was during when? 1966. This was when they were passing everybody and giving them high grades regardless of how well they did. This was during the troubles.
Was that something that that you observed as coming out of that period? I mean, had it not been that way before? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think so. And my idea of graduate school, of course, was I was thinking of my husband, who was a professor, who had 12 grad students, and I thought, oh, good, he had, every one of them had a desk in the lab, and they all came over to our house for dinner, and we had parties, and we entertained them, and it was a nice arrangement. I got to know all the grad students, my husband's grad students, and they used to call me their den mother. But can I? I forgot what I said last.
Well, let's start out with what we were talking about while the mic was off. You said that grad school was a little different here than it was with your husband, for example.
Yeah.
Could you explain the differences?
Well, in the entomology department, there the professors and associate professors all had grad students. Most of them, it was essentially a graduate student teaching department. Mm-hmm. Research, you know, with so much research going on. And all of his grad students, he had a lab, and they all had a spot in the lab. He had a big lab. He still has a big lab, but he's not in charge of it anymore, but they all did field work because this was in ag entomology. Then he was in the practical end of insect transmission of plant diseases, and so they had to grow plants and they had to grow insects and they had to check for mycoplasma and viruses and damage to plants and yields and how different insecticides worked and how different fertilizers worked and all this sort of stuff. They had to do all this so that in the summer they were usually all at, when we were little, we went to Kenosha, that Petrifying Springs Park. There was a lab there. And when my husband was a grad student, we went there. They were out all the time. His major professor just let him do his own research at that time. When he came back and took classes, he was pretty well under it, but Tom Allen, who just died now, was a really neat guy, and he just said to Chip, he said, "Well, you know how to do research. This is the problem. You solve it." So he would go ahead and do it. So that, and there would be as many as 6 or 7 grad students living there all summer, doing the work and doing the research and taking counts and keeping track of everything. And
now, how would that compare with the kind of graduate student in life you lived in the computer area?
Oh, well, first of all, I said, what do I need to take? Now, this was, I need to know what courses to take. I was already in calculus, so it wasn't that I went back. And I said, do I have a major professor? Oh, yes. I said, well, who is he? And I've forgotten his name. I don't think I ever talked to him.
Interesting.
And he was supposed to sign my class list. Well, this was, I don't know if you remember when some girl was hit by a bus in the bus lane on University Avenue. Maybe that was
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, my major professor wanted the buses